Thank you, Robinson family. What a blessing you all are. Special treat on Father's Day. Thank you so very much. And I will agree, Miss Vicki adds so very much to the appearance, and another reason why she's up here is to maintain proper control. Wouldn't you agree? And you did a good job of both. Thank you too, Matt, I must say, for a wonderful week of instruction in Vacation Bible School. Matt led our adult class, of which I was a part, and got to sit in and enjoyed it immensely. And we dive deeply into various encounters in the Scripture. And anytime you dive into the Scripture, you're going to receive a blessing if you come with an eager heart. And we did, and we were blessed very much. And thank you again, as well as all the VBS workers and participants. Speaking of diving into the Word, let's take our Bibles and find Genesis chapter 5. I want to speak to you tonight along very practical lines. And we're going to look at a passage in Genesis chapter 5. A familiar passage to some of you, perhaps most of you, but maybe not all of you. And I want us to read beginning in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. An interesting passage of Scripture. There's nothing quite like this. And I want us to think tonight on walking with God. And I think it's appropriate that we look at Enoch, who was a father, and his fatherhood played a big part in his walking with God. So we'll look at Enoch tonight as our role model for walking with God. This is something that every Christian does, and we want to do it well. Amen? Walking with God. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of gathering again tonight on this Father's Day. We want to thank you for the blessings of this day. Abundant blessings, Lord, that have come from you. And you've opened before us again tonight your Word and the blessings we've already experienced in tonight's service through the singing, the good fellowship. And now we commit our time and this message to you. Pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be at work in our hearts to help us learn, to help us receive, and to apply what you're going to tell us. And Heavenly Father, help us tonight in our walk with you. First of all, help us and open our eyes if we don't have a walk with you, that that may begin tonight. That relationship, that fellowship, a lifelong grace relationship of walking with you. And Lord, most of us have that relationship, so make it a better relationship. Help us, Lord, to understand what it means to walk with you, and help us to desire that more than anything else, that we walk in step with you in faith and obedience, and open our hearts to what you're going to teach us about that tonight. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Enoch walked with God. We read that. And very simple words, but the importance of it, the meaning that is here, and we hope to unfold that as we go along. This word walk is often used for the Christian life, for the believer in his relationship with God. It describes day-to-day life. And this is so very important that we just make sure we get our hearts and minds around this, that the Christian life is not all about special events. The Christian life mainly is about the day-to-day walk, our daily life, our daily conduct, our behavior as a believer. That is, day in and day out, we walk physically. And so this is often used in the Scripture, this term walk, as our day-to-day relationship and ongoing fellowship with the Lord. It begins on earth, and as we see here in Enoch, in his life, and it's true of ours too, the walk that begins on earth ends in heaven. And so what a privilege and what a responsibility it is to walk with God. Those are two things also we need to keep in mind. It is the highest privilege to walk with God. Just think of it. Could there be anything better to be said about any of us than that we get to walk with God? And then at the same time, is there any more serious responsibility than walking with God? So we're prone to read a scripture like this and just kind of sail right through it. But I'm not going to let us do that tonight. And God's going to slow us down and help us to look and see what is involved here when it says Enoch walked with God. We've sung songs today about, or tonight at least, about cleansing of sin. And that reminds us that the walk with God is only possible because He has come into this world through His Son and brought us back to Him so that we can walk with Him. Remember, Adam and Eve at one time had close fellowship with God. The relationship was established in the beginning, but it wasn't long after that it was broken. And because of Adam and Eve's sin, our relationship with God is broken until it's restored. And that relationship can only be restored through Jesus Christ, through His shed blood, through atonement, through sacrifice, through cleansing. And then we're brought back to where we need to be. So God establishes the relationship, and that happens in salvation. And so there's relationship, and then from that point there is fellowship. But both with the relationship and the fellowship that follows after it, all of this is on God's terms and not ours. This is another thing we must see in this walk. Many people would say they want to walk with God, but they want to walk on their terms and not God's. And that won't work. Amos 3:3 is a classic question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And of course, we know the answer to that is no. Even on a human level, there has to be unity. There has to be a bond. There has to be that walking together. And even more so is that true in our walk with God. And He's the one that takes the initiative to bring that to pass, that we can walk with Him. And then Micah chapter 6 verse 8 tells us this: He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Nobody can walk with God except they walk humbly. You'll never walk with God in arrogance or pride or self-centeredness. Say, I want it my way, and God, you'll have to come down to my way. That'll never work. We must walk humbly with our God. And then this passage in 1 John, and maybe this crossed your mind as we sang these songs about cleansing and the blood tonight. What good songs. 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's an ongoing cleansing. And so that must always be ever present, that ongoing cleansing. And we must walk that way, or we walk not at all with Him. So having said that, I want us to look at Enoch's walk and what we might learn about that. It says Enoch walked with God. It also tells us in the Scripture that Noah walked with God. And we could easily have gone and read that passage, but there's other things here about Enoch's life that are unique, are they not? And so we're going to look at that as well, and especially as it relates to Enoch as a father, which it mentions here in verse 22. There's four things I want to say about our walk with God. First of all, the meaning of our walk with God. And I've touched upon that by way of introduction, but I want to go back and revisit and add to the thoughts that I've already shared about the meaning of our walk. What does it mean when it says Enoch walked with God? What does it mean when it says that we're to walk with God and walk in the light as He is in the light? What is that getting at? Well, it means two things: relationship with God and fellowship with God. Those are not the same. Relationship must come first, but then fellowship should follow after relationship. And any married person, husband or wife, can tell you the difference between relationship and fellowship. If you're married tonight, there is a relationship. You are married. It's established. You have a wife, you have a husband, and you're joined. Relationship. But we all know, sadly, we know that not in every relationship is there close fellowship. Sometimes the fellowship is not what it needs to be. So when you think about relationship and fellowship, you could just sum it up very simply by saying we enter into a relationship. There has to be that point in time where we enter in and establish that relationship, and that's by God's grace in salvation. But then beyond that, we cultivate fellowship. It's an ongoing thing, and that is the ongoing walk. It doesn't happen by chance, and it doesn't happen by accident. And both the relationship and the fellowship are only possible through Jesus Christ. This is one of those great blessings that we have in Christ, is that through Him we have relationship with God and fellowship with God. Jesus spoke of that in His prayer, great prayer, in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee. Not know about Thee, but know Thee. That's relationship and fellowship included in that term. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. So it's our prayer, and it's our aim, and it's God's desire that we know Him by relationship and fellowship through His Son. Now, that doesn't happen when we're born. It happens when we're saved. And the Bible's very clear about this. Before we're saved, here's how the Bible describes our walk. There's probably several places we could find it, but I want to mention this one in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. It says very clearly that before salvation, we walked, in the Bible terms, according to the course of this world. We're walking like everybody else. And that's not walking with God. You look around and you can see people are not walking with God. It's evident they're not walking with God. But when we're saved, that all changes. And here's how the Bible describes our new walk. This is what it means to walk with God. And I'll mention several things. We'll not turn to them. I'll just mention them. And then maybe you want to dive into them later. But this is all of what's involved in the walk with God. First of all, it says in Romans 6:4, that this is a walk in newness of life. When we baptize someone, we often read that passage in Romans chapter 6, where we identify with Christ in the water of baptism. We are buried with Him by baptism unto death. We are raised with Him to walk in newness of life, it says. Walk in newness of life. There's a newness about the Christian life, which is to remind us we're not walking the old way. And anybody that tries to, it just won't work. You're walking a new way. Then the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Before a person is saved, he pretty much walks by the world's wisdom. He tries to size things up the best he can. He tries to figure things out with logic and what have you, and gets the best that he can find, hopefully, in worldly wisdom. And we often speak of somebody worldly wise, and they live that way. But when you're saved, you're not walking by sight, you're walking by faith. And that makes all the difference, doesn't it? A walk by faith, a walk in newness of life. The Bible tells us also in Ephesians 4 and 1 to walk worthy of our calling. The idea in worthy means that it should balance out. We've been called to be God's children. We've been called to be saints. We've been called to a heavenly way of life. We have a heavenly citizenship. We've been called to be set apart and set out and holy and all of that. And so our walk should match that. It should balance out with that. We know that we're special. God has told us so. And we need to live like that, a worthy walk. And then we are to walk in love. That goes without saying. But God reminds us of that, to walk in love toward one another and to put others first and to be considerate and to be kind, to be humble and to look upon the things of others and not on the things of ourselves. That's part of walking with God. Then we walk in the light. Not only do we find that in 1 John, but we find in Ephesians 5:8. And that means in purity and holiness. We're to walk in wisdom, in godly wisdom, and not in foolishness. And to do that, in order to do that, we have to be in the Bible, where we get godly insight, wisdom for living, skill. The Bible word wisdom means skill for living. We know about skill. There's the skill of the tradesman. There's the skill of the businessman, the skill of the athlete. And we admire all of those. But what God admires is we have skill to live right. And we walk in wisdom. We walk in the Spirit and not in the desires of the flesh. That is, the Holy Spirit controls and guides us. And that's in Galatians 5:16. In near that passage, it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what He produces. We're walking in the Spirit. Then all those qualities, love, joy, peace, all those will be evident and abundant in our lives. We walk in good works. It is normal for Christians to do good works. It's a part of why God saved us. We are His workmanship. It tells us in Ephesians 2, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that we should walk in them. Good work shouldn't just be a dash here and a dash there and, yeah, we'll do that then. And it's every day. Good works. Sometimes they refer to that as random acts of kindness. Well, I don't know about random, but they should be consistent acts of kindness and good works, so that, as Jesus said, when people see our good works, we won't get a pat on the back, but they will glorify our Father which is in heaven. And then you can't sum it up any better than 1 John 2:6. It says that we walk as Jesus walked. We're to follow in His steps. He called us to be His disciples, His followers, and that's what we do. So that's something of the meaning of the walk. Now, Enoch lived early on in time, and we have the benefit of having more of the Word that we see what's involved in this walk. He walked with God. But we know what God expects and what it's all about, far better than Enoch ever hoped to know. Let me move to a second area, not only the meaning of our walk, but the motivation of our walk. Notice verse 22 again. It says, let's read 21 and 22. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. We know him. He lived the longest of any person on earth, didn't he? And by the way, Jared, who was mentioned earlier in the reading, he almost made it as long as Methuselah. You can look that up. 962 years, and Methuselah 969 years. And I guess when you live that old, what's 7 years, you know? Goodness. But something happened when Enoch had this son, Methuselah. Let's notice again, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Well, that grabs our attention right there. That's fairly old to be having a child, but he did. And then it says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, I think that's more than just a time reference here, that he lived 300 more years. It seems to indicate that there was something about the birth of Methuselah that prompted him to want to continue to walk with God. And as parents, we can easily identify with that motivation, can't we? If that doesn't wake you up, if that is not an alarm going off in your heart, I need to make sure I'm walking with God. I'll never forget the phone call when I found out that we were going to be parents for the first time. We were living in Memphis. I was finishing up my last year. Nancy had gone to the doctor, and she was supposed to get the report back from the doctor. She called me. I was in our little apartment there in Memphis. She called, and she got back to where she worked and said, it's true. I forget the exact words, but I remember the call. And she said, it's true. We're going to have a baby. And we had a few more things to say to each other. And then I hung up the phone. That was a landline. That's the only kind we had. And I hung up the phone, and about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes at least later, my hand was still on the phone. I was kind of frozen there on the couch, just like, wow. It really grabbed me. You know that feeling. All of you know that feeling. And so there is that motivation, that special motivation. And what a good time to consider walking with God on Father's Day. And it's not just dads that need to walk with God. It's moms that need to walk with God. And we know that it's a challenge. And yet it is such a responsibility. It's such a privilege. There's this little poem that I came across years ago, and I keep it in my planner. And I would not say that I look at this monthly, but I look at it from time to time. I'll think of it, and then I'll flip over and read it. It's a short little poem called The Little Chap Who Follows Me, and it speaks of this matter of parenthood, and especially fatherhood. It goes like this: a careful man I want to be, a little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray, for fear he'll go the self-same way. I cannot once escape his eyes. Whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be, that little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer suns and winter snows, I am building for the years to be, that little chap who follows me. True words. And that's true of daughters looking at their mamas and following in your steps. And it's true also of granddads and grandmoms and the influence. There's a little verse over in Proverbs that I've come across at least once a month because we read through the Proverbs. Many of you are doing that now. Proverbs 27, that is chapter 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. What a statement. The righteous man, the just man, it doesn't say the perfect man. When it says the just man, it's talking about the saved man. The man that's right with God, he walks in his integrity, and when he does so, his children receive the blessing. It's like the ripple effect. What is integrity? What does it mean to live in integrity or walk? There's the word walk again. It's a day in and day out thing. Integrity means wholeness. If you walk in integrity, it means you're the same person everywhere you go. You're the same at home as you are at church. You're the same at work as you are at home. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, whatever you're doing, you are who you are. You don't put up a front. You don't wear a facade. You don't pretend to be somebody. Because as we all know, children can see right through that. And it never does work. So that's a call for all of us to be people of character, parents of character and integrity, and the promise our children will be blessed when they have that kind of a role model. And thankfully, Methuselah had a father in Enoch that took it seriously. He walked with God, the motivation for our walk. And then there's a third thing, and that is the maintenance of our walk. The maintenance of our walk. I've already mentioned this term walk in and of itself speaks of ongoing and something continuous, something constant, something regular. Well, notice here, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. That's a long time to do anything. But 300 years, and I'm sure there were ups and downs, and he wasn't a perfect man, and the Bible doesn't even suggest that. But it does suggest that whatever he did, he kept on doing it. Setbacks, yes. Failures, yes. But he kept on going with the Lord for 300 years, even had more sons and more daughters, and then lived to the ripe old age. Well, wasn't that ripe and old in that day, but 365 years. So the maintenance of that walk. He walked consistently, and I'm sure he walked confidently. You know, when you walk with God, there's a confidence. Not a self-confidence, but knowing that you're walking with the Lord brings a great assurance to life, doesn't it? You're not calling the shots, he's calling the shots. You're not depending on your own resources, you're depending on his resources. Now, maybe we would think, well, you know, that's a Bible character. That's, you know, it's early on in Bible history, and that's probably easier for him to do than it would be for us to do. Wrong. Because we know something about that world before the flood. Methuselah was born, and then in the end of his life, or before his life was over, the flood came. You can look at the chronology of it, which we're not going to do. But these were dark days, the time in which he lived. And it's been dark, really, ever since Adam and Eve sinned and fell. There's never been an easy time to walk with God. And so it wasn't easy for him. It's not easy for us. People in those days, it tells us about before the flood, there in the New Testament, says it will be like the coming of Christ will be as it was in the days of Noah. And it speaks of what they were doing. They were marrying, giving in marriage, and they were buying and selling and doing this and doing that. And basically, they were living as if God didn't know what they were doing and God didn't care. And that's pretty much the world we're living in. But we do care, and we know that God knows. And so that helps us to be consistent and to maintain our walk. We get some insight over in Hebrews chapter 11 about this man Enoch. Let me read you what it says over there about Enoch's life. Chapter 11, the great faith chapter, it tells us by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, that is before he got called out and taken to heaven to be with God, he had this testimony. All right, what was his testimony? That he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Enoch pleased God. How did he please God? By walking in faith. He walked by faith. Daily, walked by faith, trusting God. And he was concerned about pleasing God. And that's really the key to maintaining our walk, is that we want to please God. And if you please God, does it matter whom you displease? But if you please everybody else, does it matter if you please everybody else and you don't please God? So you have to decide, you're going to live to please people, or are you going to live to please God? He had this testimony that he pleased God, but it was through his faith that he pleased the Lord. How do we maintain our walk? There's an insight in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Here's what it says. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So the question is simple. How do we receive Christ? It says, as you've received him, so walk in him. How do you receive Christ? By repentance and faith. It's the only way you can receive him. You repent of sin, you turn from sin, and you trust him. And the way you come into a relationship, by repentance and faith, by turning from sin, turning to him, trusting in him, that's the way you live every day. Repent and trust. Repent and trust. Just like putting one foot in front of another. Repenting and trusting. And then, of course, we know that brings obedience. Just like trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. But to trust and obey, I believe as Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say, the train of the Christian life runs on the old T&O, trust and obey. Those are the rails, and it's always been that way. Now, the fourth thing, the last thing I want to share with you is what we'll call the mystery of our walk. The mystery of our walk. We see the mystery of our walk in the sense that what happened to Enoch is going to happen to those of us who are alive when Christ comes. It says he walked with God, I'm reading Genesis 5:24, and he was not, past tense, he was not, for God took him. Only Enoch and Elijah were taken directly to heaven and didn't go by way of the grave. And Enoch here is a picture of what's going to happen in a generation. Don't know when it's going to be, but we know that it's going to be. And some of God's people are going to be living when Christ comes back. We call it the rapture. And just like Enoch, he was walking on earth one day, and that walk began on earth and continued in heaven. Can you believe that? He walked with God and was not, for God took him. The word used in Hebrews 11 is translated. That's similar to transfer, to take across, or to take over. And that's what happened. He just took him over from earth over to heaven. He crossed the threshold, as it were, from earth to heaven. He crossed the threshold from time into eternity because God just took him straight on. Didn't have to go by way of the grave. You know what the Bible says, but I'm going to read it anyway. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. One day Enoch was walking, and the Lord just decided to take him on to his house. He didn't go back to his house on earth. He took him to the Father's house. One of the most beautiful descriptions of heaven is called the Father's house. Let me ask you tonight, are you ready? If that were to happen, would you be ready to take your last step here and your first step there? Or would you be ashamed at his coming? The Bible speaks of that. We need to walk in the light as he is in the light, that we not be ashamed at his coming. The way to do that is to walk with God, to please God, to walk in repentance, to walk in obedience. The motivation's there, and one day our destiny is going to be in heaven. What a motivation that is in itself, apart from parenthood and responsibilities and the privilege of walking with him, just to know. You see, a walk in the Bible sense is not a walk in circles. Now, sometimes I've done that for exercise, and some of you do that. You go and you'll walk and maybe walk around a track, or that's a lot better to me than walking on a treadmill. That's so monotonous, but we do that for exercise. But the walk of the Bible, of course, is a different kind of thing. It's walking from point A to point B. We're walking. It starts in salvation. It continues every day. And it's a walk with a destination in mind, and that destination we know is heaven. We sang about this morning, and it should motivate us to know one day our final steps are going to be there. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, tonight we've considered our walk with you, and we pray, dear Lord, that you'll help us to walk close with you, to walk with you on your terms, to walk in the light of your word, knowing what you expect and what that walk looks like. And I pray, Father, you'll help us to walk like Enoch walked, year by year, month by month, day after day after day. He walked with you, and no doubt he failed you, as we all do. But Lord, by your grace, you picked him up, you carried him on. We think of that wonderful truth in your word in the book of Psalms, that though we fall, yet we're not utterly cast down, but you, Lord, uphold us with your hand. And so we do stumble, we fall, we fail, but to know that you'll pick us up and by your grace carry us on. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to the finish, And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.